You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
And welcome to the William Hill Racing Podcast. Alex Dunn and Andy Holding here to look ahead to the best of Tuesday's racing. We've got one at Wetherby, one at Leicester, and two at Southall to look forward to in just a few moments. No racing at Tramore on a Tuesday, unfortunately. That has fallen foul of the weather, but fingers crossed Wetherby and Leicester get the go-ahead. No official inspections planned as of 2 o'clock on Monday as we're recording this. I'm Alex Dunn, and this is Andy Holding. Good afternoon, Mr. Holding.
Hello, Alex. How are you?
I'm very good, thank you. How are you?
Good. Yeah, not too bad at all.
Good. As I said, three meetings to look forward to tomorrow, and
yep.
It's not too bad for Tuesday, is it?
It's very good. It's very good. Much better than today, I must admit. Obviously, speaking the day before, when lost the meeting, we've only got Kempton, where there's not that many betting heats, and Wolverhampton's not great. But, yeah, definitely moves up a notch or two.
It does indeed. We're going to start by looking at the Monday jury, a feature very much stolen from the Racing Post. We make no bones about that. But six questions to go at, and we'll start with the first of them. So then, is the how it's phrased, beautifully done. Is the champion chase now a done deal in your eyes? That, of course, relates to Underso, who was very impressive at Ascot when beating, well, the majority of the horses that he's supposedly up against in the Queen Mother.
Yeah, there's one or two potential pieces in the jigsaw still missing, so we can't say it's an absolute over the line situation, and that's pretty much how the betting has worked itself out. It's still 4-5. It's not like Fahin's 1-3, 2-5 kind of market dominance. We've still got you know, the likes of Dodging Bullets to come back, perhaps Simon Sig. You know, he's got to put his final preparations on the line somewhere, and you just never know with Willie Mullins what he's going to do with the likes of Champagne Fever, Vator et al. So there are one or two other things got to happen in this market, but given how good he was in the Clarence House and how well he jumped and how he quickened away from Hasard Agrouge, of course, he's the benchmark really for this 2 mile division. He's got a similar chance to the one he had in last year's Arkle, where if he puts in a clear round, doesn't suffer any scares, which he has done in, or you know, he's potentially capable of doing, then you know, he should really follow up last year's success.
4-6 market leader with us, 3-1 Vator, 9-2 Sprinter Sacra, then 10s for Dodging Bullets, Side Agrouge and Traffic Fluid, 12 Simon Sig, 14 Specialty Ara, 20s or bigger the rest. We are now non-runner money back on this race, and indeed all the championship races at the festival, so were Underso to pick up a little knock or something, you would get your money back if you back him. But 4-6, does it's one thing saying what will win the race, and it's another saying would you back him at that price.
I probably would look to play in the without the favourites market at this very stage. And you know, you look at a horse like Special Tiara, who was a bit unlucky at Sandown, well documented. He runs well at Cheltenham, again coming from a trainer that targets certain horses, gets them prepared specially. He's got a fantastic record here, Henry de Bromhead. I think probably Special Tiara at 14-1 standout with William Hill at the moment would probably be the alternative I'd be looking to go down at the moment.
Okay, fair enough. Special Tiara then just about getting the nod in the champion chase. We'll move to the second question. Does the new one make each way appeal in the champion hurdle? Of course, the champion hurdle coming up on the first day of the festival. Currently 16-1. Fahin is your 3-1 on market leader, 9-1 Arctic Fire, 10s for Nichols Canyon, 14-1 for Identity Thief and Peace & Co, and then 16s for Camping Ground and the aforementioned The New One. A horse who's had a fair few goes in the champion hurdle. Probably less fancied this year than he has been in previous years, and even in previous years he's had his doubters. A horse that I love, but I can't see him getting close in this champion hurdle. I think It's been said so many times, yeah. but just doesn't quite have the speed.
Well, yeah, he's had his chance, hasn't he? If ever he was going to win this race, he probably should have done it before. I think he was a bit unlucky the year when Jetski, of course, won it. And that was his chance when he was in his pomp 2 years ago. Since then, he's suffered from all kinds of ailments. Most notably, he's had corns, which have now been treated. They've said in the paper it's his feet, but I can categorically tell you it is corns. Mm-hmm. And albeit he made a winning appearance after he's had that treatment, he still wasn't overly impressive when he beat Raven Black the other day, who is up to now regarded as just a trailblazing handicapper, mm-hmm. albeit a very good one. You know, he got stuffed by Fahin in the Christmas hurdle when he had every chance. And obviously he was 5th of 8 in last year's champion hurdle when he was sent off second favourite. So it's difficult to make a case for him in the Fahin alone market. But mm-hmm. obviously, you know, there are other ways to skin a cat. And you take Fahin out of the equation, then, you've got to still consider him as a little bit of value, perhaps in the without the favourite market, around about the 8-9-1 mark. Because obviously there are four places up for offer. And because it's so wide open, that particular category this year, where they're all beating each other and we don't really know who is the second best. Arctic Fire, logically, is the one. But even he, you know, doesn't win many races, doesn't he? He's a little bit vulnerable.
Surely,
in
though,
respects.
Back in Arctic Fire at 9-1 each way, Antipost with us, is good value, if nothing else. In that you've got a horse who has proven that he can get somewhere near Fahin, and let's make no bones about it, it's not dangerously close.
No.
But he looks best of the rest, surely.
Yeah, but the things with Arctic Fire, he's often ridden to finish second and third, which he has been, I think, through the majority of his career, and I think Connections are quite happy to do that. obviously, he does win races and he stays beyond 2 miles, so that's encouraging as well. I mean, me personally, I think Identity Thief has got the natural class and brilliance to actually finish second on his own right.
Okay, 14-1.
He'd probably be the one I'd look at.
Okay.
But ultimately, you know, you are looking at playing for second fiddle, aren't you, really?
So, the new one, no?
I think he'll finish fourth or fifth again.
Yeah.
Whereas I think if you are betting properly in the each-way marking, that's the answer to the question. Who would you go for? Who do you think has got the best chance of finishing second? The obvious one is Arctic Fire, but I actually think the value is Identity Thief.
Okay. Next up, can any of Alan King's juvenile hurdlers beat Ivanovich Gorbatov in the Triumph hurdle? Of course, Ivanovich Gorbatov so far has seemed the one to beat, very much so. Hasn't done a great deal wrong to date and would be, in many people's eyes, a worthy, clear, deserved favourite of this. 11-4 we make Ivanovich Gorbatov. Then it's 14s for All Black Deplace, Soreal, Who Dares Wins, 16s for Apples Jade, Gibral Faro, and Let's Dance, and 20s or bigger the rest. Alan King does have a few likely types in this, but going to have to go some to beat what we've seen so far in Ivanovich Gorbatov.
Yeah, it's a strange division this year, the Triumph Hurdle. Normally, to find a horse like Ivanovich Gorbatov at such a short price, 11-4 as we speak with William Hill, you think this horse has won a couple of Grady races already, wouldn't you? I.e. he sets a very high standard. The if you like, inverted commas, the figures boys have been absolutely, you know, waxing lyrical over him and drooling. And it's not necessarily the case. All the other graded performances and performances that have gone on at the bigger and better tracks, with the likes of School Royale, Who Dares Wins won a Grade 2, Apples Jade's won a Grade 3. None of those have basically got a look in. What the odds compilers have done here is looked at the performance and the level of performance and looked at the horses who've subsequently come out of that Leopardstown race thereafter. And you find that it stands out as a singular best piece of form.
Mm-hmm.
There's been three horses that have run out of that Ivanovich Gorbatov race. They've all won. And they've all run to a fair level afterwards themselves. So it's quite clearly the best juvenile form, because I don't think the ones over this side of the RSC have actually achieved technically what their level suggests, i.e. I don't think the Grade 1 at Chepstow is particularly good.
Yeah.
I don't think the Grade 2 at Doncaster was particularly good. They've almost been masqueraded. So the answer to that question of do I think any of Alan King's juveniles could beat Ivan Kovachev? The only one out of them I would put forward would be Sku Royale.
Mm-hmm.
On the basis that he's already been around Cheltenham, he looks very professional. He goes on any ground.
You'd be hard-pushed to see him out the frame, wouldn't you?
At the moment, yeah.
14-1 as well.
He's not a bad shout.
Not the worst price.
I think William Hunter's got another nice horse as well, Apple's Jade.
Mm-hmm.
Be interested to see what connections do with her. Obviously, the new mare's race has opened up. Maybe she could go down that particular route, but I quite like her as well. But it's Gorbachev. I've said a million times on William Hill Radio, clocked the fastest juvenile time, and he's the one to beat at this stage.
Okay. Next question. Which race would you like to see Vroom Vroom Mag contesting at Cheltenham? She's still unbeaten. She's a very smart prospect. But the issue for her is that she's also trained, owned and ridden by the same people that own Annie Power, which when you've got two high-class mares can't be a problem as such. But it's a little bit frustrating. We've got Annie Power 4-5 for the mare's hurdle. Vroom Vroom Mag 4s and 12s or bigger the rest. The world hurdle, for which we are non-runner and money back. Thistlecrack is a 9-4 favourite. Then Annie Power and Vroom Vroom Mag are both in at 4-1. We'll start with the actual question. Which race would you like to see Vroom Vroom Mag contesting?
Which would I like to see her contesting? I would like to see a run, of course, in the world hurdle, because that's the most prestigious race. But there are question marks hanging over her in that particular category. She's never been over 3 miles before, and up to now she's only been beating her own sex.
Mm-hmm.
Annie Power's already proven in the world hurdle, and she's obviously
second to more of that, wasn't she,
up against a pure champion on the day, more of that, who's proven himself over fences as well subsequently, and he was just a very, very good horse on the day. That was a really good world hurdle, by the way, that year. It's had the very best stays in that particular race. So logically for me, even though the betting suggests otherwise, if I were the riches, I'd say, well, there's no question marks about Vroom Vroom Mag in her own sex. She's already beaten most of them, as she proved the other day at Ascot. Her best trip seems to be 2.5 miles, where Annie Power, albeit she would have won this race last year on her own right, had she not fallen at last, has got more chance of competing against the boys than Vroom Vroom Mag has at this stage. Mm-hmm. So therefore, the logic would be to run her in the world hurdle and run Vroom Vroom Mag in the mares.
Mm. But it's a question of fitness for Annie Power, isn't it? That's sort of the...
Do you run Annie Power first time off the shelf in the 3 mile race?
You wouldn't have thought so.
That doesn't... So,
and who is ahead in the pecking order? You'd think still Annie Power, but they've got to be excited by Vroom Vroom Mag, so it's...
But are they that obsessed by winning the world hurdle? Or are they just going to keep playing with a straight back with Vroom Vroom Mag and think, well, we'll forget Cheltenham, we'll just keep dominating in our own category and just let Annie Power do her stuff in the mare's hurdle and we'll leave the world hurdle alone.
And there's always next year. Annie Power could always win the mares this year, go on to the world hurdle again next year, whereas Vroom Vroom Mag will be another year wiser. Bit more experience.
It just depends.
There's plenty of things they could do.
It just depends what Willie Mullins and Rich Ritchie are thinking. If they're absolutely obsessed by winning the world hurdle, and I don't think they are, it's not the be all and end all for them, because they've never won it. It is a difficult one to work out what race you'll end up running in. I'd only want to be betting non runner no bet at this stage.
That's what I was going to say. I think at 4-5 and 4-1 respectively for the mares, you could probably leave them and. They're both 4-1 for the world hurdle with non-runner money back. You can't get hurt that way, can you? So, okay, for penultimate question. Did Alpha Dezobo look world hurdle winner material at Garran on Thursday? A horse that had a few seconds to his name, but a good win, wasn't it, on Thursday?
Yeah, I do like this horse. He's trained by an absolute master for me. I absolutely love Maurice Morris. Doesn't have that many powerful horses all the way down the line, but he always gets two or three every year, and he's never a million miles away. For the Subtenant, of course, won the Neptune a few years back, and I think he's got a decent enough each way prospects here with Alpha Dezobo. He's very consistent. You can see by his form figures, he's either wins or he finishes second. Still think he would have, he's up to running a big race until he fell at Aintree last year. He's done nothing wrong this year. He's won the best staying race so far, and that was at Garran the other day. And, you take Prince of Scars out of the equation, who I'm not really sure what connection is going to do with him. He's entered up to run in the big race at Cheltenham on Saturday, obviously representing Giggingstown. Then, he's the best Irish stayer that he's definitely going to run.
I was going to say, we touched on the the head of the market earlier. This is Quack 9-4. Annie Power of Vroom Mag at 4s. 7's Cole Harden. 9's for Camping Ground and Nichols Canyon. 10's Alfred Azobo. 12's for more of that. Well, we've already touched on a fair few of those horses in different races. This race could end up being quite badly cut up if other horses go for different targets.
Yeah.
We are non-runner money back. There could be some pretty savage value to be had in
Absolutely,
this
race. Yeah. I think he's definitely one you've got to consider.
Okay.
He does look an out-and-out stayer. Ground seems to come alike to him, and he's definitely in the right hands.
Okay, final question. Not looking forward to Cheltenham as such, but just the future. What sort of chance does Richard Johnson have of overhauling AP McCoy's final tally? Of course, he reached the 2,500 winner mark, didn't he, the other day. Still got some way to go, though, hasn't he, to catch AP?
It would have been an amazing feat, wouldn't it? I don't think it's really been a consideration until everyone's actually looked at him and thought, well, hang on a minute, you know, if he carries on going at this rate, you know, he probably could get to 4,000, but he's still got another, you know, was it 300 or 400 on top of that? A lot depends on Richard Johnson and his body, how much it'll take of, you know, the pounding and the falls, and whether he'll just draw stumps when he, like AP McCoy did, when he's got enough jockey titles under his belt, or whether he's just fed up of the game. He's the only one who can answer the question. Logic says he won't do it. It just depends how much he's prepared to push his body.
Okay. Right then. Well, I should just say as well, we've got betting on site for horse to win at the Cheltenham Festival, regardless of race, for which Annie Power's 4-6. I'll just mention that because with all the uncertainty over where she's going, that isn't the worst price. Right. We'll move on to Tuesday's race.
Yep.
We've got action at Wetherby, Sutherland and Leicester to come. But we'll start with Wetherby's 220. It is a handicap chase over the extended 3-mile trip. And plenty of these, Andy, arrive here in decent enough form. We'll start with Take the Mick, who, well, very much lives up to his name. Blink has applied for the first time here, and my goodness, they'll be needed.
Yeah, he should have won, shouldn't he, the other day. He was by far and away the best horse. But he did just take the Mickey all the way around. He was in front, then he let Still Believing go by him, and then once Still Believing went by him, he came back again and agonisingly failed to get back up by a quarter of a length. Obviously, the blunder two out didn't help his cause, but you know, he does finish place rather than win too many times often for me.
Mm-hmm.
A lot depends on the blinkers, whether they do work. If they do, then he's obviously got the ability to go well off his mark. He stays well and he goes in the ground. But your guess is as good as mine what kind of mood he's going to be in.
Okay, what's the pick going to be in here?
Well, I'll probably stick with course and distance form, and that's Longview Fire from the informed Mickey Hammond stable. They've had a terrific year at this yard, and the fact that he does like Wetherby, obviously got to stand him in good stead. He likes gaps between his races as well, so I wouldn't put me off the fact that he hasn't been out since November. He was second to the well-handicapped Blues Cascade on his previous run, and then he beat not a particularly strong field, but, you know, it did have the inform it's time for a pint back in third. And, you know, his stamina obviously was the key suit that on that particular occasion. So I'd probably just stick with him.
Okay. Longville Flyer, the pick in the 220. We'll move to Suddle next for the 240. It's a handicap over a mile and a half. 10 runners going to post here, Andy. And so many horses that love it round here and come here off the back of a win.
It's a race of the day for me, this. If you're a follower of all weather and you do like your Suddle racing, you'll be aghast to see how many good horses are run this race. A lot of them take their turns to beat each other. I've got like a pecking order at Suddle. I've got this doing a fast time, then something, they'll run in another race and that does the fast time, and then it's almost like a knock-on effect. But this one brings them all together, so we could see fireworks here. I've been a big fan of Yorfin Gold all the way through the winter, but, you know, he's got beaten by the likes of Swiss Seed and Ralphie Ladd, and then they've taken in their turns to beat each other. But the one that has beaten both of those and has recorded the fastest time is the course and distance specialist, Raw Maskell. And I'd just about go for him. Now runs in the care of Gay Calloway. Won by 5 lengths here last time out, which is no mean feat. They were in a good gallop that day. The right horses were beaten as well. There's good money for Ralphie Ladd and for Swiss Cedar, obviously, who set a fair standard going into that race. And this one won really easily. He powered clear in the latter stages. To see readily by the sign of a comments in class of this nature tells you all you need to know. And because he's got such a good overall record and a lot of bad class here, it wasn't exactly a flash in the pan. So I'll go with Roy Maskell.
Okay. We'll stay at Suddle for the 3:10, which is a handicap over 5 furlongs. 8 runners going to post for this one, Andy. And again, some horses that do like it here, but above all, some consistent types wherever they run, and this doesn't look an easy race to call.
No, obviously Dungan is in good form. He won well here the last day. He does like a strong pace. He has to get covered up and brought through with a run. Oisin Murphy's obviously the man on board to try and execute those tactics. But he's got a little bit to find, only a little bit. But he has got a little bit to turn around with Mapping Time, who finished second to Meadway, who's a brilliant horse here at Sutherland over the straight 5 furlongs. I think he's actually 2 for 2, maybe 3 for 3. That's the fastest 5 furlong sprint I've got so far here throughout the all-weather campaign over the straight track. All the right horses were in that race, the likes of Dungannon, as I mentioned, Shipyard, Zach Brown, Rita's Boy, Scarborough, all, you know, scattered over the Nottinghamshire venue. And Mapping Time came out second best, considering as well he did it from the stand side rail. He was drawn 10 that particular afternoon, which is not an easy draw to overcome. All the fancied horses that day were drawn down the middle to far side. You've got to give him an immense pat on the back. Rachel Richardson gets on particularly well with him. He's off the same mark, and he does love it here. So with the dead eight runners, if you can get an each way bet about Mapping Time, I don't think you'd be too far away there.
Mapping Time, the pick in Suddles 3.10. We'll move to Leicester for the final race that we're going to look at. It's the 3.35, and it's a handicap chase over almost 2 miles and 7 furlongs. Only 5 going to post, Andy, but pretty competitive.
Yeah, it is. I do like King's Apollo, though, Alex. I like him because of his jumping and his willingness to battle and try hard. And that is part of the game for me. I thought he was really good the other day down in Taunton. The ground was appalling. And despite getting taken on for the lead, he found plenty of pressure in the latter stages. But it was his jumping that stood him in good stead. And in the end, he pulled well clear of Union Jack DC, who was obviously very strongly fancied. Plenty of other horses in that race didn't run their race, basically because of the sound gallop they went throughout. Handicap has risen him £6, but I don't think that's enough to stop him. And Tim Simmons is finally enjoying a little bit more success than he was early on in the season. He's had a bit of a wretched year, Tom, but horses like this are sticking his head above the parapet. So I'll take King's Apollo to follow up his Taunton win.
King's Apollo, the selection at Leicester. Great stuff, Andy. Best luck with your picks on Tuesday, and we'll catch up with you soon.
Pleasure.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.